Good morning to each of y'all, and I'd like to greet y'all in Christ's name this morning. I'll tell y'all a little bit something this morning. It is good to be in Strawberry, Arkansas. Strawberry, Arkansas has a pretty tender spot in my heart yet, to be honest with you. I love to come back here. I like to see the familiar faces. I like to see the friends. I like to see... You'd be surprised all the memories I have just driving down the road. You can point out to the boys, this is where this person lived, and here's what happened here. And it feels good to come back to Strawberry, Arkansas. It's where I grew up. I mean, it feels like home. Rolling in here this morning just felt like home. A lot of that credit, honestly, goes to y'all. I don't have bad memories of Strawberry, Arkansas. When I think of Strawberry, Arkansas, I have good memories. And that credit goes to y'all as a church and a congregation for making it that way. If we would have left and went on the outreach, and it would have been sad if I would have had no desire to ever come back again. But it's not that way, and I thank God for that. And this morning... Marcus and Lula showed up. I had no idea they were coming, but it was a treat to see them roll in. I figured I'd share just a little bit on the church there. Marcus and Lula can correct me on anything if I'm wrong. A lot of y'all have asked, how's it going? How's the church going? And I don't know, I can't speak on everything of that, but I'll tell you this, I don't mind the question. Y'all are welcome to ask. It was a church plant that went out from here, and y'all have it's nice that y'all have an interest in the work. I'll say that. I will say this: it's a lot of work, a small church and a new church. It's a lot of work, but it's been a blessing. God has been so good to us. People have put their heart to the work. I feel like there's a shortage sometimes. Well, school devotions comes around often as an example. Church devotions, Wednesday evening turns, all those turns come around pretty regular for people. And it's not a bad thing. But it can be wearing probably at times. There's not as many people to pick from Sunday school teachers. And we don't have all the classes, quite frankly. This morning, my oldest boy got to go to primary, and in Searcy, we don't have a primary class. So some of that stuff we're a little bit short on, but I'm not complaining at all. It's just the way it is. One thing I miss seeing there is a bench full of youth. We don't have very many youth, and we don't have very many older people. So y'all are welcome to come anytime. Our church building, I'm telling you, we are so blessed to have that church building. It's not huge, and it's sometimes you have to set up chairs for different Sunday school classes sometimes. But it works. It works very well. School building works very well. That building's been a blessing to us. It's not huge, but it works. So many things that we could have done without, but still the Lord provided, and I thank Him for that. We even have church benches now. That we had them white folding chairs, and if the preacher was boring, you couldn't sleep in those things for nothing. But now, if the preacher's boring, you at least got a place to stretch out. So I just want to thank y'all for your support. Y'all come see us anytime. It's probably more encouraging than you think to see faces from here down there on a Sunday morning. Just a couple of things I've learned. So I was pretty partial to this area. I was pretty partial to where I lived. But I have learned home isn't a house. I was talking to, I think it was Titus Friday, a little bit about that. Home is not a house. Home's where my family is. So that was a blessing that I learned. You can have a great life and a good home wherever you are. I also learned you can do less with less than you think you can sometimes. Sometimes it's actually good for us. We get comfortable, we get used to things. It's sometimes good for us to do with less. Doesn't hurt us at all. So I just wanted, that's nothing really to do with the message. I just wanted to share that with y'all, and y'all come see us. Y'all come see us anytime. I know a lot of you have, so blessings on you for doing that. All right, we are going to talk this morning out of Mark 10. We're going to talk about a man named Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. Any of you children want to tell me what was wrong with Bartimaeus? Any of y'all know? What was different with Bartimaeus than most of us or any of us here this morning? Any of you boys on the front bench want to say? What was wrong with Bartimaeus? He was blind. That's what was wrong with Bartimaeus. I heard a story of a man. He wasn't blind, but he was lazy. He was just a lazy man. The story it's probably not a true story, but it's an old story. Supposedly this happened in the 40s, but he was a lazy man, didn't want to work. And he decided his way of getting out of work was to go to the disability office and apply for disability because he's blind. So he pretended he was blind, and he had his two sons take him into the disability office, and they did some tests on him, and they said, no, you're not qualified. And, well, he was ambitious enough to take it further, and they said, well, you got to go to state capitol, and you have to have three doctors examine your eyes, and if they say you're blind, you can get your disability. Well, he was ambitious enough to go do that, so he went and did that, and the three doctors looked him over, and they said, you can leave for an hour, and we'll have your results back in an hour. So he walked down the street and seen the they called it a picture show in the 1940s, movie theater. So he went inside and sat down to watch the picture show. And unbeknownst to him, one of the doctors was assigned to follow him, just see how blind he was. And he was sitting there enjoying himself, and he looked over and he caught on, this doctor sitting there, and he's watching the show. Now what does he do? He was at least smart enough. He reached over and he tugged on the doctor's arm, and he said, sir, would you be nice enough to tell me where this bus stops next? So that's not a true story, very likely. But that's a story of a man that wanted to be blind, unlike this man in this story. This story comes right on the heels of a famous disciple argument of who gets to sit where in heaven. Jesus had just got done explaining before this. We're going to read here in a little bit. We'll read verses 10, 46 through 52. But right before this, Jesus had just got done explaining to them how they're missing the point of servant leadership, basically. And it's kind of interesting that this story comes right after that one, because this blind man understood and could see what the disciples could not see. He understood some of this. So let's read Mark 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So we have Jesus in this story. He's coming into Jericho and then going back out of Jericho. And it says the road was packed. There was a traffic jam of people on this road. Full of people. Busy place. And here we have Jesus bumping into this man with kind of a funny name, Bartimaeus. So Bar simply stands for son of. So his dad's name was Timaeus. It says it here. So it's saying he was the son of this Timaeus. Bartimaeus was his name. He was named after his dad. Some historians would say that this Timaeus was a wealthy, well-known man because the Bible, they went so far as to spell out his name here. I don't know, that might be true. It raises a few questions in my mind. Why was the son of a wealthy, well-known man a beggar beside the road? But it could have been that way. But either way, here he is on the side of the road and sitting in the dirt, sitting in the dust. The crowd's kicking up dust as they walk by. And he's just trying to get enough to get by. All he needs is a crust for that day or a few coins or something. Something just enough to get by. He's blind. I've known, I think, two blind people in my life. There's two I know about anyway. And it's not something any sane person would desire, to be truly blind. I read a little article that said that more people would rather lose a limb or have cancer or all kinds of other horrible things rather than being blind. We want our sight, don't we? We want to see. You can close your eyes this morning and imagine the blackness. And if you open them, it's going to be just that black again. It's not something we desire. These two men that I do know that are blind, it's amazing how much they can learn to do and how they can still navigate and get around. But they're still very handicapped. They're still very reliant on other people. It's just the way it is. But here was this man and he was blind, and I think he was dealing with two kinds of blindnesses. I think he was physically blind and I think he was spiritually blind. And apparently this man would have heard of Jesus. In verse 47, he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth that was coming. Somebody told him that this Jesus was coming, and I can only imagine the kind of frenzy in his heart he might have felt. The one man on the planet who has the capability to fix your spiritual and your physical needs at the same time within arm's reach distance. And you may never have the chance again. I can picture him, the desperation in this man. And notice what he says. He says, Jesus, thou son of David. And that by the way, is the only time somebody called Jesus the son of David in the book of Mark, calling out to him personally. And I think it was this blind man publicly saying, I believe you can heal me spiritually and physically. I think it was his way of expressing that he knew Jesus could fix his problems. And I want you to notice what he asked for. He said, Jesus, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And that should be the cry of every Christian, every person, and every Christian in the world today is mercy. When we stand before the judgment seat of God someday, we're not going to be standing there thinking about justice. Lord, I want justice. Just give me justice. We're not going to think about revenge. Lord, that person that did me wrong back a decade ago, I'd like to have revenge. That is not going to be our thought. Our thought before the judgment seat of Christ is going to be mercy. And this man understood that. He wanted mercy. And going on to verse 48, we have the crowd almost getting in the way of a good story here. They're telling him to hush. They're telling him, be quiet. Quit yelling and messing up the day for everybody else. And I had to think, what would have happened if this man would have listened to the crowd? What if he would have hushed down, quieted up, because he was afraid of getting in their way or aggravating somebody? What if he aggravates the man that was going to give him a few coins, or aggravates the man that was going to give him a loaf of bread, and now he has to go hungry or without money that day because he aggravated a potential giver? What we would have missed this great story in the Bible. But he didn't do that. And it's easy. It's easy sometimes to remain silent when we know we need to cry for Christ. That's easy to do. It takes courage to speak up. We don't want to ruffle people's feathers sometimes. We'd rather just, everybody else is kind of being quiet about Christ. Let's not stir the waters too much. What if Bartimaeus would have thought, you know what, I'll catch Jesus next time he comes through? You know, next time the crowd might not be quite so big. It might not be so dusty. There might not be so many people to aggravate or get in their way. I'll just wait till next time Jesus comes through Jericho, and I'll catch him then. Jesus never came back through Jericho again. He would have missed his chance. And I think should be a challenge to us, that when Jesus calls, answer. When Jesus calls us, answer. Don't miss the chance. In verse 49, I find Jesus' response a bit interesting. The very first part of that verse, and Jesus stood still. He stood still. He stopped what he was doing. And don't forget, he was in a crowd of people that was probably already a traffic jam in the road. And he stopped. And do you think there was maybe people hollering in the back, come on, keep moving. What's the holdup? Let's keep going. But Jesus just simply stopped. He stopped for this man. He could have said, I'm the Son of God. I'm going to Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. I've got the world to save. Why would I stop for one man? But he didn't. He didn't do that. He stopped, and then Jesus commanded the man to be called. And don't you think that was a precious sound to the sight of this man? This man was probably not a very needed man in life. He was probably looked at as a liability. There wasn't much he could do for people. If he heard his name called, it was probably called an aggravation, or he's in the way again. He can't see where he's at there. So he's in the crowd's way. His name was maybe called out in anger and frustration. And now he had the one and only hope for his spiritual and physical needs calling his name. That would have had to have been a blessing. I can only imagine the joy of hearing your name called by Jesus. It goes on to say, the crowd told him, be of comfort, relax. He's calling for you. You can go now. And that's something else I want to point out to you, that Jesus is not picky who he uses. And he will use whoever comes. He will use whoever comes. A poor man, a blind man, a dirty man, a man that's been a liability his whole life. He don't care. He just wants a changed man. And he will use a changed man. Going on to verse 50, I love this man's enthusiasm. He casting away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. There wasn't nothing going to stand in the way. There was no way he was going to let a robe get in his way, or if he had a staff, he might have threw that to the side. I don't know, but he was not, nothing was going to stop him from missing this divine meeting with Jesus. He arose. He maybe walked. He might have stumbled. He might have tripped. He might have fell, but he went. He went when he was called. And you know what it's like when it's pitch black outside. I've noticed that already in my backyard. I don't have a yard light. And sometimes you're walking out to the truck or the shop and it's dark, and you kind of feel your way along. It's black. You can't see where you're going. And it doesn't always make for the most elegant stroll in the dark. You know what I mean? You're kind of... This man, he wasn't worried about looking elegant. He wasn't worried about walking smart or anything. He was just worried about going. He didn't care about anything else. Jesus called him, and that's all that mattered. Verse 51, isn't this kind of an odd question for Jesus to ask? What wilt thou have me to do? You have a blind man standing in front of you, and you're asking, what do you want? He's apparently blind. But I think Jesus wanted this man to say what he wanted. And how many times has Jesus asked me and you the question, what do you want? What if this man would have said, you know, a couple of dollars to get through the day would be great. Jesus might have gave it to them, but Jesus gave him so much more that day. How many times does God say, what do you want, Jason? And I come up with a foolish answer of something material or a bigger car or whatever. And really, God wants to give me so much more. He may give me some of that stuff, but he'd give me so much more if I just asked. Sometimes, does my greed and my short-sightedness sometimes cause me to miss asking Jesus for more important things? What if I would say instead, Lord, heal my spiritual blindness. Lord, show me the neighbor that needs prayer, or maybe the neighbor that needs a visit. Maybe there's just a little something you can do that's very much in your capable zone of, you can lend a helping hand here or there. But it seems so insignificant, it almost don't seem worth it. Maybe that's what Jesus, maybe if God took away our spiritual blindness, we could see some of these things. And the answer that the man gave was, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And once more, I believe in all my heart, the man was asking for physical healing. He really wanted to see, but I also think he was asking for spiritual healing. He was asking, it was him asking Jesus to be the king of his life and him declaring his belief in the lordship of Jesus. Verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He got what he asked for. He got what he asked for. I had to think of that verse, if you ask, you shall receive. He got what he asked for. And Jesus made it clear that it was this man's faith that made him whole and healed him. That Greek word made whole means physically and spiritually. He was physically and spiritually made whole. And I don't know for sure, but I have a feeling this man had 20/20 vision for the rest of his life. Because when Jesus does something, he does it right. I don't think he was wearing glasses the rest of his life. I think his eyes were fixed. I suppose he probably couldn't get done celebrating the wonders of his new world that he could see. He was fixed spiritually and physically, and I do not think he was silent about it. It says he followed Jesus in the way. He was probably an advocate and a worker for the blind for the rest of his life. He was a blind man. He knew what it was like. I suppose he probably had a deep compassion for the blind. I also suppose he probably had as much zeal for helping the physically sick as he did the physically blind. I just have a feeling, we don't know how this man's story ends, but I have a feeling he was a strong supporter of Christianity. Thinking about that story, how many blind men do you think Jesus bumped into that didn't have the faith to believe that Jesus could heal, and they missed the blessing of it? And we also don't know about that story now because they didn't have the faith to believe. I don't know how many there were like that. But we do know Jesus bumped into people that didn't believe he could fix their life spiritually. And sometimes there's folks like that today. we don't have the faith or the belief system that Jesus can fix our problem, that he can fix our blindness. And so we stumble around in our blindness. And I hate to say it, but sometimes that man is me. Sometimes that man's probably you. And we're so consumed with our selfishness and we're spiritually blind to the need of others because we're so focused on what can I get out of this life for me? God forbid that I should live anywhere, especially in the world's richest country, and be consumed with getting just a little bit more material possessions. God forbid, to the point where I can't see the needs of others. God forbid that he call me to follow him and I put off the call and think I'll do it at a more convenient time. Does that remind you of somebody in the Bible? That was Felix in Acts 24:24. Felix had a call from God. He knew what was right. He just didn't want to give up his lifestyle. It wasn't quite convenient at the moment. God forbid that he ask us that call ourselves Christians to do something for someone that is unable to do it for themselves, but we have rejected that call so often that we're spiritually blind to it, and God has to ask somebody else to do it because we can't see it. God forbid, that should not be us this morning. If God sees a need that needs filled, is his first thought, I'm not going to ask Jason. I've already tried him and he don't go get it done. That boy's spiritually blind. I'm going to have to go get somebody else. And sometimes, I've said this earlier, but it's just the little things that we drag our feet doing. And we look out and we say, someday, when I am financially secure and I have the time, then I'm going to go do the great things for God, because then I know I have my family in a safe spot, and then I'll go do this big thing. And at the same time, we miss sometimes the little things, the little needs that our children have, the time that they need. Another thing, and I touched on this a little bit earlier, another thing Bartimaeus experienced was freedom. This man was no longer in bondage. He was not in bondage physically or spiritually. He was so fresh and so positive in his belief in Jesus, you couldn't have talked him out of it, I don't think. And how often do I take my spiritual sight and freedom for granted? You know, listening to some of Barry Grant's teachings, the Christian, and I learned this from him and I knew it, but he had a better way of wording it than I do. But the Christian life is not a life of bondage. It is not a life of bondage. So often we, especially plain people, look at the Christian walk as one of rules and restrictions and bondage, and or we can look at it that way if we're not careful. But let me take you, go back to the night before your conversion, or the weeks before your conversion. And I can go back there. I remember what that was like. I remember the fear of death and the fear of hell. And if you want to know what bondage is, that's bondage right there. That's not freedom. So many people today chase the American dream and what can we get? And they think that's freedom, doing anything I want to, anytime I want to, that's freedom. But I'm telling you, that's bondage. That is not freedom. Freedom is knowing that you have accepted Christ in your heart and you ain't gonna go back to that old lifestyle. That's freedom. No fear of death. I wish sometimes I had more of Bartimaeus' zeal and zest that he displayed in this story. I wish I had a little bit more of that. But one thing I think me and Bartimaeus had in common is that we both realize that when we let Jesus rule in our life, we're a freer man because of it. Let's not take that feeling of freedom for granted this morning. Lord, help us not to forget the feeling of having our spiritual blindness cured. And as a young Christian, I didn't understand it all. I was saved at, I think I was 13 years old. I think I was baptized at 14. And I didn't understand everything back then. I still don't understand it all. I understand a little bit more than I used to. And youth sometimes, I was a little bit like this. You have this newfound freedom in Christ, and you have a little bit of a passion and a zeal for your newfound faith, and it should be that way. And sometimes as we get older, we get a little discouraged in that. And we forget about it grows old to us, to our shame. And sometimes the more we know and the more we learn about Scripture, the deeper and the harder it seems to understand, to be to understand. And the Bible, we people can make the Bible so confusing to understand sometimes. And it's because it can be hard to understand. There is complicated things we can't figure out in Scripture. There's all kinds of theological arguments and whatever else. And I don't say that to tell us to not keep studying. That's not the answer. The answer is to keep studying God's word and to keep discussing it, not to be discouraged by it. But I do want to leave this challenge with you this morning. When you feel spiritually blind to some of the things God might be teaching you in Scripture, or somebody has confused your mind with a theological argument and you wonder, where do I stand before God? What does God think of me? Do y'all ever have those questions? What does God think of me? And we wonder, how do I stand before the Lord? And when you have those thoughts, I just want you to go read Romans 10, verse 9. And it's very simple, it's very basic. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you question your walk with the Lord this morning and you wonder what the Lord's thinking of you, go back to that verse. You might be like me, and you're middle-aged and sometimes confused with what the Bible's teaching us. You might be a new Christian, and you might be a Christian that's walked with the Lord for 70 years. But anybody that's confused about your relationship with God, go read that verse. I love the simplicity of that verse. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And Bartimaeus experienced that. I think he experienced that. He had that knowledge, that freedom. My spiritual eyes are open, and I can see again. And as a bonus, he can see physically too. God bless y'all for listening this morning. Y'all are an attentive crowd. Thanks for making us feel at home again here. Let's kneel for prayer.